All right. Well, good morning, everybody that are here joining us in person and those that are maybe looking from their couch on Facebook. Welcome everybody. I'm excited to teach this morning, getting to finish up where we were at last week. If you weren't here with us last week, we had exciting news that last week was our four-year anniversary of becoming a mobile church plant. Started meeting over the bridge, but 4 years, rain or shine, hadn't missed a Sunday, man, and it has been the best thing for our body, I believe, that we've ever done. And so thank you for being a part of that and looking forward to the next years to come. I do want to encourage you. I'm going to be here next week, but I want to invite you to join us. Our good friend Charlie Vifquin is going to lead us in John chapter 11. Not necessarily just giving me a break. We just want him before you teaching as well. He does such a good job. And also want to tell you this. Everybody listen to me real quick. If there's anybody out here and you feel like, hey, man, I want to be a part of this too as far as teaching and stuff, let's get together. Talk with me on that. If God's leading you to say something to this group, it doesn't have to be a full message. But if God ever leads you, and so I am not the only mouth that needs to be speaking out here, and so we believe in that as a body, okay? Let's pray real quick, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for just allowing us to be out here this morning. We pray it all the time, but the beautiful weather and the beautiful people that you've got to get gathered together. Jesus, you are the head of this church, and we follow your lead. And just love where the passage has us today, finishing up from last week, talking about the Good Shepherd. And so we just say that, Jesus, you are the Good Shepherd. And so thank you for your leadership. We pray to always follow you wherever you take us as a body and as individuals in our own life. That's so important. We'll talk about it today. But to know you and to know your voice, and we trust as your word also says, that you know us intimately. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We pray that you be with us in the next few moments, that Holy Spirit, you just lead and speak louder than any voice of condemnation or curse that's been spoken over us, maybe where we don't feel like we could ever measure up enough to be a part of this flock that you're talking about, Jesus, that it's all about you and what you did on the cross. And so let that be our measuring stick. And so, Jesus, we just come to you with humble and expectant hearts this morning, what you share from your word. We pray and ask it in your name. Amen. All right. So I want to give a few thoughts on last week. I told this a few weeks ago. I don't just give background of where we've been just to fill up time, okay? We got plenty of other things that we could talk about, but context is so crucial as far as where we're at in Scripture, what's going on. I don't want to just jump into a passage and you not have been here for a few weeks. And so we're talking about the Good Shepherd as I prayed. And there was also this moment in Scripture where last week he not only says, I am the Good Shepherd, but I'm also the door, right? We talked about that. If you were here last week, you saw it. I am the door and I am the Good Shepherd. The one who gave his life willingly, right? Like he laid it down. If you remember the statement last week, is no one takes my life from me. I have the ability to lay it down and take it back up. You remember that if you were here last week. The Good Shepherd, right, who gives his life for the sheep. And then he knows us, and we can know him. We can know and understand and hear his voice. So that's where we were at last week in the first parts of John chapter 10. But this week, as I kind of review, I want to take you off script for just a few moments, okay? I want to go to a passage that, thinking about this week as the Good Shepherd, that has been on my heart all week long. I just think God wants me to share this morning. And so I want to share it with you with the idea of the Good Shepherd in mind. The reason I want to do this is thinking of God, thinking of Jesus in that sense of our Good Shepherd. Sometimes we can think about that and say, man, I've gone too far. You don't know what I've done. You said I could be a part of his flock, right? That I can hear his voice and I can know him personally and intimately. But Keith, you don't know. I've strayed too far. I've done too much for his love, or maybe even his want to. There's no way that he wants to chase after me. And I just had this passage on my mind this week, and I want to read it, and then we'll get started in today, if that's cool. I don't know why I'm asking permission. I'm going to read it anyway. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 15, here's what it says. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Are you glad just right there that Jesus is okay associating himself with sinners like you and like me? I'm grateful for that, right? It says that he gathered them in, received them, sat and ate with them. And it says he told them this parable, this story, if you will. "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Now, we know we're all in need of repentance, but wherever you find yourself in that story this morning, if you would say, "Man, I've gone too far, I've strayed too far away from him," or maybe even his want to surely wouldn't be there to come after me, I'm going to take into account that not only is the good shepherd one who is willing to lay his life down for you and already has, that even when we stray away, he will leave the flock, leave the 99 to go after the one and not do it begrudgingly, not do it where he's mad, not do it where he's hacked off at you and chasing you back with a whip and saying, "Now you need to get back into the fold now." It says that when he goes and finds the one, that he puts it over his shoulder, rejoicing, bringing it back to the flock. And then it says that heaven rejoices over finding this one lost sheep. If you feel like a lost sheep this morning, you're in good company knowing that the Savior's love can bring you into the fold, right? Bring you back rejoicing over his shoulder. Now, I can't tell you why I needed to share that today. It was not the passage other than thinking of the idea of Jesus being a shepherd, but someone needed to hear that today. Maybe it was me. He will leave the 99 to go after the one. Aren't you glad of that? I want to read in today's scripture where we're at. John chapter 10, we ended at verse 21 last week, and so we'll pick up at 22 and finish out the chapter. So let me read this morning. It says, "At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Now that's a pretty redemptive message, right? That me and the Father are one, no one will snatch you out of my hand. And here's how the Jews celebrated. It says, "The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, 'I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?' And the Jews answered him, 'It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God.' Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? And if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand the Father is in me, and I am in the Father.' Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, 'John did no sign, But everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Father, we thank you for your word. We believe it is God-breathed and useful for all sorts of things, even right now, today, in 2020, especially today, in this place, in this parking lot. You've gathered together a crowd that needs to hear about the Good Shepherd. Start with me. Start in my own heart, Father, where I need to hear from you today. Holy Spirit, again, we pray that you speak louder than any voice here. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the passage starts today, the Feast of Dedication. Much like the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, I've talked about these before, a time where there is a time of remembering God's provision, okay? A celebration, a holy time. In fact, it was such a holy time that even during this time, public mourning was outlawed. You can't even show sign. There is a celebration going on. And yet, I want to point out the irony that God in the flesh himself, the one who is the great I am, is walking amongst his people. Get that, right? Jesus is there. He's talked about the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the shepherd. The sheep enter by me. All of these things. And it says that he's walking through the crowd. And here's what they say. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. Tell us. If you're the Christ, just tell us. Let me translate for you. Another way they were saying is like, you've said you're the bread of life, right? We heard you. You said you're the light of the world. You said now that you're the door and you're the shepherd. Will you just tell us if you're the Christ? And here's what he said. I've already told you, but you don't believe me. And the reason he says that you don't believe me is because you are not of my flock. You don't hear my voice, right? You're counting on the law. You're counting on religion. You're counting on the way you think it should be and not the way that it is. Listen to me this morning. They felt that the Messiah was going to come in, crush Roman rule, set up a throne, and make everything in this earthly realm all okay. When they tried to push him to a kingship like that, he took a basin and a towel and a cross instead. He wasn't here looking for a position of authority, although he had it. He took a position of humility and service and laying his life down for the sheep. By the way, can I just tell you, in a world that is in kind of division, if you haven't noticed, right? Can I tell you that his church, his sheep, are called to do the same thing, to lay down in humility, lay our life down, pick up a basin and a towel and serve, wash feet. If you want to know a good place to start in a world that kind of is divided, serve people. Love people. Talk about the good shepherd, right? That's where we live our life. That is the place where he's called us to. Each and every person here, if you are a sheep that has answered the call of his voice, then you have the call to go and to tell, to go and to love, to go and to serve. But they're here wanting it on their own terms. Are you the Christ or not? Just tell us, right? We want to know. We want to know in our way. We want to know in the way that we prescribe. Man, does that not sound familiar today? I want it my way, right? We all walk around feeling like it's Burger King, that we just get it our way all the time. It's not going to be that way, right? But that's what they're wanting. We want to know right now. We want to know if you're the Christ or not. Will you just tell us? Will you quit talking in these parables and quit talking about terms that we have no idea of? We don't want to know about you being the bread of life. We don't want to know about you being the light of the world. You're the door. You're the shepherd. We just want to know, are you the one we're waiting on? In other words, what they were saying is, we're tired of waiting. We want you to set up your kingship, if that's truly who you are. We've seen the signs, but we want you to set up rule and we want you to make things right. Are you the Christ or not? And his response, I've told you, but you don't believe me. You're not a part of my flock. And he reminds them what he said last week. He said, you're not a part of my flock. And listen to the rest. He said, because if you were, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. In other words, you are not believers into this fold. You don't know me. Right? If you knew who really was standing in front of you, then you would know that I am the Christ. You wouldn't have to ask. I'm here to tell you this morning, the same as back then, there is a choice to be made of whose flock you will belong to. Make no question about it. I want you to hear me this morning. You are sheep. I am a sheep. That's just what Scripture tells us. We are all sheep. There is only one shepherd. All right? Only one shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. And the only choice, are you going to be a part of his fold, or are you going to be a part of the fold of the world? I can tell you who the shepherd of that is as well. It's the enemy. There's a choice. There's no in between. You can't stand in the middle and say, well, I don't really know which gate I'm going to go through. One day you will have no more chances. Here, right now, you have a chance. What flock you will belong to. Jesus is the door, and he is the good shepherd. You must listen, trust, and obey. I believe this call is offered to everyone here. Every person that can hear my voice, and more importantly, the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning, have a choice if you will accept that call that he's giving you, that offer that he's giving you, that laying down of his life willingly for you to be a part of the flock of the good shepherd. Can I tell you where this conversation goes? So they tell Jesus, they said, if you would just tell us if you're the Christ or not. Just tell us. Quit talking in rhymes and riddles. Quit talking in parables and tell us, are you the Christ, yes or no? Again, on their own terms. How many times do you pray to Jesus in your own terms? If you'll just do it this way instead of praying, Lord, your will be done as we've been taught, right? I promise you, his will is going to be better for your life than your own will. Can I get an amen on that? We've tried our own way before. It doesn't work. And so I'm telling you there, that's what's going on. And they've asked him this. And then here's what begins to happen and pop up in the crowd. How can he say that he's really God because he's just a man? Right? It says that. Over and over, we've seen that. In fact, here's what probably went on in the crowd. Isn't that Joe and Mary's kid? Right, from over there in Nazareth, the carpenter Joe, right? Isn't that just, in fact, if I remember right, I mean, scratching your head, wasn't the kid even born in a stable? Like, now he's saying he's the king, he's a good shepherd, he's the door, he's just a man, right? We know the rest of the story. We know that what he said about himself is true. He is the only way. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you're counting on any other way, it is fool's gold. It will not work. It is counterfeit. Is it manufactured? There are no persons. I can't save you. This church can't save you. Your good deeds or lack thereof can't save you or damn you. The only thing is Jesus Christ. He is the door. He is the shepherd. Now, here's what Jesus knows at this point and what's been leading to this point. All of these events, all of these talks like this, all of these questions that begin to go around the crowd, Jesus knows is leading him to lay down his life willingly on a cross for you and for me. He knows that that's what's happening. He's already told about it. In fact, there's no other reason that he would have said, I lay down my life willingly for the sheep. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Can I tell you that there's almost even better news? I mean, that is news of itself, that is newsworthy, that should be our story, that should be our marching orders, that there is a shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. Can I tell you almost even better news this morning? After he has this conversation, I want to close with what Jesus said because I believe it's so vitally important, and I want to tell you how I believe the Father led me to share it with you this morning. The good news is this, that the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and those that know him know his voice. He told us this, but then he tells the crowd this, and I'm going to read these few verses again in closing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. Can I tell you that's good news this morning? That when you leave this life, it doesn't have to be the end, right? That there is eternal life that we will never perish because of, not your good works, not because of your standing, not because of any other external factor, but because of Jesus and what he has given us on the cross. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. The Father is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. And then he shares a deep truth. I and the Father are one. This is John 1 stuff that we studied so long ago. That he is God. He is equal with God. Jesus tells the crowd this day, and I want you to picture it in this way. Here's why I read earlier from Luke 15. You are the lost sheep. Maybe some of you feel that way. You feel like you just done just irreparable damage. No way, no shape, form, or fashion it can ever be repaired. You've gone too far. Not only does he leave the 99 to find you, not only does he find you, he doesn't find you and take a switch and start whipping you back to the fold. He puts you over his shoulder and rejoices that the lost sheep is now found. And then he says these words that are beautiful way to end in our scripture today. That no one, everybody look this way, no one can snatch you from his hands. No one. I'm going to go on and add a little bit because I believe Scripture gives me literally liberty to do this. No one can snatch you from his hands, or nothing can snatch you from his hands. Nothing. Keith, you mean to tell me that means what I did last night or what I did last week or what I'm thinking about? Nothing can snatch you from the hands of Jesus if you belong to him. I'm going to drop some more knowledge on you this morning. Everybody look this way and listen. That means even you. You cannot snatch yourself out of hand. You can't go too far. You can't run too far away. If you know him, let me add that. If you don't know him, then you're already snatched out of his hands, right? You got to come to him. You got to confess. You got to believe, repent. All of those things Scripture tells us. But if you know him and you've entered the fold, nothing, not even the works of your own hand, can snatch you away from the love that is the Father's love. Nothing, no enemy, no scheme of man, not even your own mistakes, sin, or walking away. Is that good news this morning or what? Father, we thank you for that this morning. We thank you that you are the good shepherd. We thank you that you are the door. You are the only door. I pray that if there's hearts this morning, either here in person or watching online, I pray that if there is someone that is trying to enter, manufacture their way in by some other means, by good works, by religion. Someone out there listening, someone here today could have been a member of a church for 130 years. I don't know if that's possible, but someone could have done it. If that's all they're counting on, then one day when they stand before you, they will have to answer based on their own good deeds. And your word tells us that that reward will be separation from you for all eternity. On the other hand, someone who has sinned their whole life and admits it, has been a professional sinner, has walked away time and time again, yet comes back humbly and repents and says, Jesus, I count on nothing but you. Will you save me? Will stand before you, and I believe a holy God will look and say, my son, my daughter, come on home. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the good shepherd. Once we belong in your fold, there is nothing, not even a scheme of man or enemy or by our own hands, that can snatch you away from the love that the Father has for us. We are in. Jesus, thank you for that. That is the good news we cling to. That is the good news we exist for. That is the good news that this church offers any passing by, any listening online, any here in person, that no matter how far we've gone, no matter how lost we may feel, that the good shepherd is one that wanders away in the field, leaves the 99. In other words, leaves those who already know him to go after the one that doesn't, and comes back rejoicing with the sheep over his shoulder and says, the one who was lost is now found. The one who was dead is now alive. Jesus, we thank you. We exist for you. You are the head of this church. May we be about promoting your love, your grace, your mercy in this city, this county, this state, this nation, and this world, wherever you give us opportunity, that is our message, that is our heartbeat, that is our marching orders, that you too can belong to the Good Shepherd. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we praise you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.